Today's scripture is from Luke, chapter 22, verses 1 through 20. Now the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money, so he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room, and may I eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with a cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Here ends the scripture.
Bread and juice made sacred by the words we use and the intentions of our hearts. But today I want to talk about communion that might be created outside of these walls. Food and encounter made holy by us intentionally, inviting the divine to be present with us. If nothing else sticks with you today, I invite you to ponder this coming week. Each time you share food and drink with someone, is the food common or holy? And how might our intentions lift the encounter out of the ordinary? Now, our scripture today told us that Jesus was preparing for the Passover, an annual feast that all good Jews celebrated. The same words were said each year, the same food was eaten. It was a very ritualistic thing that happened, celebrating the night that the Hebrew nation was released from Pharaoh's Egypt. Much is the same as here in the Christian church. We have the same bread, the same cup. We use a lot of the same words as remembrance of Jesus' presence in our lives. Well, when Jesus broke the bread that night, he didn't use the words that the disciples were used to hearing. They knew what was supposed to come next and how they were supposed to answer. And Jesus said something different. He held the bread and he said, "This is my body." And I've got to wonder, did the disciples go, what's going on here? I don't remember this ever being part of last year's Passover, the year before. Things didn't go according to ritual. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me," creating a new thing. I'm sure they noticed the change, but in our story, it doesn't say that anybody raised their hand and said, "Excuse me, Jesus, you're screwing up here." Perhaps they went along with this new language because they felt the presence of the sacred in this newness. Perhaps when he spoke the new words, creating what has become our sacrament of communion, they felt the divine in the room. Now, our story started out telling us that the authorities were looking for a way to kill Jesus. So maybe the disciples just kind of knew that outside of the room was trouble, and maybe they didn't want to rock the boat at all. So maybe they didn't question, hoping that life would go on the way it always has been, that they could continue to follow their teacher around the countryside and things would stay the same. But life isn't like that. We often get jolted out of our complacent comfortableness, forcing us to look for the presence of the divine in our midst. We experience the loss of a loved one, illness, a job gets downsized, other circumstances that cause us to feel adrift in our lives. Perhaps if we could find the sacred presence in our daily lives, presence around our own tables with our intentions and our words, that we would sense the presence of the divine in a comforting way. I remember in my own life when I was jolted out of my safety zone. I experienced a divorce after 20 years of marriage, and life wasn't the same anymore. And a woman I met threw me the lifeline of friendship. She taught me how to laugh at myself, how to believe in myself again. She kind of became a safe harbor for me. And we would get together and talk and listen to one another, and I learned from her, and hopefully she learned a few things from me. We used to get together and share a Hamburg and something called Hefeweizen. It's a type of wheat beer. She taught me how to drink this beer. And after about a year and a half of our friendship, she said, "I'm going away for 2 years." Again, my world was cut adrift. Who would be that lifeline of friendship for me? Well, a few nights before she left, we met for our typical burger and Hefeweizen. And she picked up her glass and she looked me in the eye and she said, "Whenever you drink one of these while I'm gone, remember me." And I promised her that I would. And I did. The whole time she was gone, every time I drank one of those Hefeweizen, I would think of Jody, and I would think of how she believed in me and how we had created a communion together. Did that become communion from a tap? I believe it did. Because every time I drank it with intention and connectedness to what we had shared. And we do that with this bread and this cup. We connect ourselves to Christ. We connect ourselves to one another with the words that we say and with the intentions of our hearts. We remember the lessons that Jesus taught his disciples. We remember the lessons we learn as a result of reading those stories over and over again. I think another place maybe in our everyday lives we can see communion food is after a baptism. We have cake, we have food, and we've had a sacred ceremony where we promise to love and support that family as they raise that child. So does that cake and do those Swedish meatballs become communion of a sort? I think they do, because it's the intention of our hearts, the connectedness to the divine that we create. I think the intention of buying, growing, and cooking food can be another sort of communion. David and I, when we lived in Grand Rapids, belonged to something called a Community Supported Agriculture, or CSA. Maybe some of you buy your food from a farmer's market. But for us, that food bought from a husband and wife who lovingly, intentionally grew the food based on their Christian upbringing, became something sacred for us. When we would accept the food from them, they would often give us recipes and they would make eye contact. And it became something really special because it changed the way David and I ate, when we were a part of that community. Now, I've already been told that some of you like to bake for the coffee hour afterwards, and that a lot of you enjoy those baked goods. I think that's a communion of sorts. Coffee cake lovingly prepared, pies consciously made, thinking, I know who's going to eat this food. That's a communion of sorts. It's in the food, it's in the intention, it's in our hearts. So is that food holy or common? And are we changed by what we share? We're told that wherever two or more are gathered, Christ is there. So does food intentionally eaten, with the invitation perhaps for the divine to sit at the table, become sacred time and sacred food? Perhaps we need to name it as such. Sacred, a time of remembrance, a time of saying, sit at the table with us. Jesus, be here. Time and food shared where we learn from one another how to be better followers of Christ. I know that holy encounters happen in this space because we've named it as sacred. But I know that it happens outside of these walls as well. It happened for Jesus and his disciples in an upper room, not in a temple or a synagogue. I believe it happens around a baptismal party table. It happened with burgers and Hefeweizen in a bar for me. And I think it can happen at the Blue Heron or the After 26 Diner for you. Perhaps we can all look for Holy Communion to surprise us in places that are common, but made into something more by our intentions, by our words. So I invite you this week to take the time. Is the food or the encounter you're sharing common or holy? Invite the sacred presence to sit at the table with you, and then be ready, because I think something remarkable, life-changing, and maybe even holy may happen. And may it be so.